bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Mompreneur Model Show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we're here week after week breaking those myths that mompreneurs just dabble in business in between bake sales and getting our nails done. And I am so excited because we are continuing with our series for the eThink Tank for Mom conference that's coming up, and it's hashtagged ETTM360. And that is the conference that is coming up next month, October 10th and 11th, in Freehold, New Jersey. And we are sharing one of the co-creators of the eThink Tank for Moms and a couple more of the speakers, Jennifer Longmore and Patty Farmer. So I'm like beside myself with all of this. And I'm going to bring in Lynette Barbieri really quick and just give you a little background. You know, Lynette and her partner, Vanessa Copes, who can't be here with us today, share the vision of helping others and mentoring women, moms especially, on how to accomplish their personal and business goals. And the Entrepreneurial Think Tank for Moms, which is dubbed ETTM for short, presents a unique approach to do networking. And they believe in building a business and living a life holistically. And it's their 360 approach to everything they do. Women with young children are welcome to attend this conference because there's child supervision provided on-site on their Tuesday events. I just love how geared to women they are, and the group's mission is to connect like-minded women, network, build relationships, learn from, and support each other. And ETTM shares the experiences and ideas on time management, dealing with stress, personal development, and so much more. And I'm just going to bring Lynette in here because I just want you to share everything that is happening with this fabulous conference that is coming up. So
thanks,
welcome to
Word
of Mom Radio. So you are
Thank
welcome.
Thank you so much. I am really excited. I'm super excited to talk about the conference today. There's so much going on. You mentioned that Vanessa Copes, my work wife, as we call each other, is not on the call today. And that's because we've just had a flood of messages through social media of people asking, you know, I may not be in your state or I'm going to be out of state at the time for your conference, but I'm a mompreneur and I have this unique product and I would love to be able to promote it to your group in some way. And so I think that's an awesome idea. And since we've had so many people inquiring, Vanessa's actually in New York City right now, sitting with a possible vendor and a sponsor, and she made a bunch of appointments in one day. So we divide and conquer. That's what we do as women. So I'm at the office talking to you. She's in the city talking to some sponsors, and we are getting it done.
And see, I love hearing that. And it's so exciting because, you know, as things get closer and closer to the conference, for any of you who have ever, you know, been part of the back end of a conference, you have no idea everything that goes into it. And, you know, as attendees, you get to this conference and it's so spectacular and you don't realize the 24/7 that has gone in on the back end of everything because it's all on you, you know, the entire thing. And I'm so excited to be part of this. I can't wait to be down there and meet the speakers and broadcast Word of Mom Radio from the event. I mean, it's just exciting for us, and I love that we're doing these three-part segments on this rather than try to cram everything into one show here on the Mompreneur Model, because you guys really are the model. This is it. This is what it's all about. It's about having networking events that childcare is available for, because
yeah,
that's the number one excuse moms use. Oh, I have nobody to watch the kids. You know?
Yeah,
it really
you know,
is.
I'm in business for myself for 18 years, and, you know, I have four kids, as you know, ages 23 down to 13. And so when I was building my business, I went to a lot of networking groups that are very different than what we have today, but I went to a lot of business card exchanges, and, you know, you had to spend a lot of money for a babysitter or beg a family member, and it was always on your mind, and you didn't go to as many as you could have probably, and, you know, I just, and then I started doing my own trainings in my own office in finance, and women would come in and say, you know, I can't come to the trainings on Wednesday nights or Saturdays because my husband has to babysit then, and he's not able to babysit, and first of all, your husband doesn't babysit. That is like my pet peeve because he was there when this all happened. So he's not babysitting. He's watching his children. But I started doing, you know, in my office in the other room, one of my kids would be a babysitter and a playmate, and I would let them bring their kids to training. And that was unheard of. In financial services, you're doing a training and people are bringing their kids. Yeah, because why can't they have the chance to get the training like other people? So we've brought that approach into our networking group. And the 360 lifestyle is, you know, there's no balance. There is just you integrating every part of your life into your business. And if you're a mother and you have children and you need to bring them and you need to do stuff with your children and around your children, then so be it. That's what you need to do. And you have to show up as yourself. And that's the 360 approach that we have.
Well, you know, being your authentic self in business, I think, is your best asset. People, you know, it's like, oh, I need to put on the business face. When I started my business and people would say to me, wow, you have a business background. It's like, no, I don't. I'm a mom.
Right.
All I was
right.
trying to do was try to keep guns and drugs out of school, so I designed a line of clear bags and backpacks. No idea what I was doing. I wish I knew then what I know now. But life is a learning process. And that's, you know, the resources now that are available for women that are starting their businesses or looking to really explode their business, it's conferences like this where all of this brainstorming is happening and all of these incredibly powerful women are, you know, coming together. It's just, it's so exciting to be part of this. It really is. And, you know, as I said, Patty Farmer is going to be our first guest here today, and I actually think she's here on the line. So I am going to check and see, because if it is, I want to bring her in now because she's going to have so much to share. Patty, is this you?
It certainly is.
Oh, my gosh.
Yay.
Okay, well, for those of you who haven't heard of Patty Farmer, she is a multi-award-winning marketing and social media strategist. She's an international speaker, trainer, radio host, and best-selling author. She's created a network of more than 100,000 connections while teaching thousands of entrepreneurs, coaches, speakers, and authors how to effectively build their online and offline communities, create profitable joint ventures, and build a large and responsive email list using a non-competitive and dynamic collaboration strategy. Patty was awarded in 2014 the award for the Social Media Influencer of the Year. It's known as SWIBA, as well as in the 2014 International Collaborator of the Year Award. And she's known internationally as the Networking CEO. So, Patty, you and I have been tweeting together. I, you know, because of the Twitter world, we've been connected in Twitter, but this is the first opportunity I'm ever having to chat with you and to bring you here on Word of Mom Radio, and I'm just thrilled that you're here, and I cannot wait to meet you at this conference as the keynote speaker.
Thank you so much.
Hi.
I'm really excited. I'm so excited, and I'm actually, to tell you the truth, I have been talking with Lynette and Vanessa for over a year, and I can't wait to meet them in person, too. So I really think that the service that you're doing for the mompreneurs and stepping up and doing this Word of Mom radio show, I mean, that is just really amazing. I really love the way you're showing up and serving. It's amazing.
Well, you know, it's the amazing thing with social media, and this is where I think so often people forget the social aspect of this, the relationship marketing. I mean, Word of Mom Radio has grown from my one show to seven different shows. All the women who host shows here on Word of Mom Radio, I've never met one of them in person. But we've connected and built these incredible relationships online as affiliates, as partners, as collaborators. And you have taken it and kind of turned it into an art form. And I kind of want to...
Oh, thank you.
Well, you really have. And, you know, as you mentor people, what are the two things that you see, you know, those two or three things that really are stopping people from achieving those massive results? You know?
Well, I think that the biggest thing that I see is when people are networking, they need to realize that social media is social networking, right? And I don't care what anybody says. We will build these relationships online, right? And I am connected to people online that I have never met before, but I couldn't be any closer to them than to some of the people that I network with, you know, four or five times a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, I will say that word of mouth is never going to replace word of mouth, because the face-to-face that you get when you take that online relationship and then you put it in person, that's when it really, really comes together, right? So each one of them separately are fabulous, but together, I think it's great. So I would say that one of the things that I think that people do that stop them from getting massive results is really not networking enough and not following up effectively. I don't think people really realize that, just like in real estate, when it's all about location, 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 when you're in the networking world and when you're building relationships, it is all about the follow-up.
I so agree with you. And, you know, the follow-up online is, hey, how's your son doing? Because you saw a post that they were sick. You know, and it's funny. I was talking to somebody about it the other day. You know, as I started with the show and going online and doing things, you know, there's that fine line. How personal do you want to get? You know, and everything else. And it was my mother's 18th anniversary celebrating her birthday in heaven. And I was just having an online, offline pity party and wasn't going to say anything and then decided to put up a post. Just said exactly that, that it was her 18th anniversary of celebrating her birthday in heaven and I miss her every day. And that was it. And I had said that I wasn't going to say anything, but then decided that I would. And I couldn't believe when I got back online the next day, about 50 or 60 of my friends who knew my mom had made comments. But about 80 or 90 people who had never met my mom, never met me in person, sent me prayers, sent me memories of their moms or dads. And that was the day that the switch clicked for me, that I realized these really are honest-to-goodness relationships. I kind of akin it to, remember when we were growing up and we had pen pals? I couldn't
exactly
wait for my pen pal's letter to come in. And I told her everything, you know, and that and I do. And it's a marvelous thing, because the reality is it's a 24-hour-a-day networking event.
Exactly.
Being online, you know. And, you know, I'm kind of curious, Patty, as to how you actually began this journey.
Well, kind of interesting. So back in the day, many, many years ago, in Las Vegas, so I'm from Las Vegas, and back in the day, I owned at that time a brick-and-mortar marketing firm as well as a mortgage company. So we know that in the early, Lynette will remember this, that in the early networking group days, everything was industry exclusive, right? Everybody was so competitive. And so I don't actually believe in competition. I think it's really all about integrity, not competition. But back in that day, it was always the one person allowed per thing. And if in the mortgage business, the odds that you were going to be a part of a networking company that didn't have a realtor, a mortgage person, an insurance company, right? So for me, I never really loved the way everybody did it. It didn't seem like it was very relationship-based. Everybody was kind of jockeying for position, it seemed like. And so I just decided that I was going to take everything that I loved about the ones that I did and all the things that I didn't like we weren't going to do. And so I just decided to create my own. And I did, and that really worked for me until, I mean, it still worked for me. But then what happened is, for the people who don't know my story, is that 6 years ago, my husband came home one day and said, guess what, we're getting relocated to Dallas. And I didn't know one single person in Dallas. And basically what ended up happening is, it's kind of funny that you talked about the kind of the pity party thing that we can sometimes have for ourselves, right? Because we all go through so many things. When I got here, my husband went to work the first day, and I sat down and had a pity party like you would not believe. Like, I was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing here in Dallas? I don't know one person. And here's what happened. I did it 2 days in a row, and then on the third day, I said, you know what, Patty? You need to look at this as an opportunity, because when you are doing business with people, everybody you hear say, oh, well, I'm B2B, so that's business to business, right? Or I'm B2C, business to consumer. But in reality, we're in the P2P business. We're in business with people. We do business with people. So all of a sudden, I thought to myself, you know what, Patty, here you are in Dallas, and what is there in Dallas but people, and people you do not know. So I stood up, put my big girl panties on, walked to my refrigerator, and wrote on my refrigerator, 100,000. And my husband came home, and he said, what is this on the refrigerator? And I said, everybody thinks that, oh, because I'd lived in Las Vegas for 30 years, I knew everybody, like you would know everybody in Las Vegas, right? But I said, here is my goal. My goal is in 1 year, I'm going to be connected to 100,000 people, and I'm going to make $100,000. That was my goal. And I don't know anybody, and I'm going to go network, and I am going to go talk to strangers, and I am just going to meet everybody, and that is what I am going to do. And I did it in 9 months. Wow.
See, it's declaring to the universe.
Always. But you know what? Here's the thing. We do business with people, and that is what I think is so important. I think that people need to realize that everywhere you go, you network, right? Because it's really all about people. And if you do it from a relationship point of view, it is always about that. That is always what it's about. So ultimately, building a relationship with somebody over time is really where the magic happens, right? It's really, really where the magic happens.
Absolutely.
Well, in the whole networking, you know, I mean, there is that kind of social etiquette that goes along with these things. Do you find, you know, that you have those, you know, in working with the clients that you have those faux pas that you kind of see people making in that networking vein that...
Oh, of course.
You share?
Well, I guess it's always kind of know what not to do as well as to know what to do, right? So, I mean, we're educating, right? I would have to say that the top three, and it'd be interesting to see what Lynette has to say, I think the top three networking faux pas I see the most often, the first one being that because we all have heard that expression, know, like, trust, here's the thing, knowing you and liking you can happen pretty easy, right? Trusting you means that I am going to open up my so-called Rolodex to my family, my friends, and my clients, right? So that's some trust. So I think that one of the biggest faux pas that people make is that, say, for example, you're at a networking meeting and you tell somebody that you're going to introduce them to somebody or you give them a referral, making them chase that referral. I mean, think about it. Have you ever had somebody say they were doing an introduction for you or that they had a referral for you and then a day goes by and then 2 days go by and then it's a week? It's kind of an icky feeling in your stomach to think, man, do I call them and ask them or do I email them? So here is your first opportunity for credibility in that trust factor, right, to do what you said you were going to do. So I think one of the biggest faux pas is making somebody chase you for something you said you would do. So I think that's one of the biggest ones. The second one is confusing networking with selling. Now, I do believe that when you build relationships organically, we probably will do business together, right? We will find some synergy somewhere to do business together in some type of way. But to join a networking group and walk in the door and think that that means that you're going to sell to everybody at the table is a mistake. So I think that's a faux pas. And the biggest, and my biggest pet peeve, is adding people to your email list without permission. I think so many times in the networking world, people believe that it is implied consent that if you exchange business cards, that means you can add them to your mailing list. And that is actually against the CAN spam law. So it is not implied consent. So I think that is a big mistake when you meet somebody and then all of a sudden, you know, like you go to a networking event and there was like 100 people and then you go home and you're like, oh, here comes the spam, right? Because now everybody in the world adds you to their email list. That is actually such a faux pas. And a really great way to stand out from everybody else is to absolutely not do that. So I would say that those are my three top networking faux pas. So I'm really curious to see. What are you guys'?
You know,
do you want me to answer? Sorry.
Oh, of course.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. You know, I agree 110% with everything that you said, obviously, Patty, and we've been networking for a long time. And just to add a couple, I think that one of the biggest things that turns me off at a networking group is the person that comes in and they're braggadocious. It's all about me. And let me tell you all the wonderful things about me and why you need to talk and know me, you know. And I always tell the story, when I started networking, I was shy. And I, you know, finance for a young woman in that industry, there were older men that knew a lot more. And I was very nervous when I went out. And, you know, so what I did was I would say my name and what I did. And then I would let that person talk all about them the whole time. And then when I would find somebody I had a synergy with, I would go home and call that business card and say, you know, do you remember me from the other night? And, of course, they remembered me because I was probably the only one that let them talk the whole time about themselves. And I said, you know, it was great talking with you. I'd love to connect a little bit more. Can we possibly meet to have a cup of coffee so then I could know more about your business? You could know a little bit more about mine, and then we could see maybe how we could help each other's businesses. And I did that just because I was nervous to talk when I was there. But later on, I realized that was the best thing that I could ever do. So to this day, I don't talk about me. I want to know about them, and I want to connect with them, and then I want some quality time with them. And another networking mistake I find is people come into a business, and they're in a business where they have to recruit to grow their business, which is awesome. But you don't go to a networking group where other people are there because they want to represent and grow their own business and just try to recruit people the whole time that you're there. You know, I've had people come in and then they would sit at the end of the meeting and wait till everybody left, knowing that it was my meeting. It was in my office, obviously. It was when we started, it's my office, it's my meeting, right? They'd wait till everybody left, and then they'd tell me about why I had to work with them. And I'd say, how long are you doing this? 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, a year. I'm in my own business for 18 years. This is my place. That's my group, and I want to work with you. Why? You know.
And not only that, but I think that people don't realize that when they say that, when people come in, and I understand that they're excited about their business and, you know, they're just, you know, over the moon about it and stuff, but I think that people need to realize that when they do that, what they are actually saying, whether they realize it or not, is that they're saying, my business is better than yours. I know you already got a business,
right,
but you need to listen to my business because my business is better than yours. And how could you ever start a relationship with that?
Yeah, you know, what I would do is, you know, listen and let them talk. And because they're excited, like you said, and I don't want to crush anybody, I want to help them. I'm here to help them. So I would say, is it okay if I give you some advice? You know, I have this group because I want to mentor women, because if it's one thing that I have, it's longevity being in my own business. And I just want to share some things with you that might help you in the future if you come back to this group or if you choose to go to another group. And some people are open and some people aren't. And some people have changed and stayed and have grown because of it, you know, and then some people, they never come back again because they didn't recruit me and they're done with me, you know. But I think those two things just make me absolutely, absolutely crazy. And the other thing that Vanessa and I talk about all the time is it is great to go out there and go to different groups and meet different people. We are constantly going to different things and meeting different people because you always have to. And we're always going to different seminars and workshops because you never stop learning. And I always want to learn from somebody else for my business and for my group. And that's why we're psyched out of our minds for you, Patty, because, you know, I want to learn as many networking tips as I possibly could learn. I want to learn how to connect with 100,000 people. You know, we've been talking about you forever. There are people that go to networking groups and they go to every networking group they could possibly go to. And then they'll tell somebody that they want to meet with them and they want to refer somebody to them if that person refers back to them. And really, they can't ever really come through with that promise to everybody, because you can't build a relationship with every single Avon person, with every single mortgage person, with every single Mary Kay person. You could only really build a relationship with a certain amount of people. How many referrals could you possibly give? So when you said do what you say you're going to do, you can't do that if you spread yourself too thin. So I think you should go out and meet people and learn and connect, but I think that you should have a certain amount of groups that you're loyal to, whatever that number is to you, and be present and show up at those and be the best referrer and best member that you could possibly be, and then you'll get the same thing in return.
Oh, I agree with you. I actually have a name for people who just go to a whole bunch of networking groups, and I call that drive-by networking, right, where they just drive by. That's drive-by networking, where they just drive by, pass out business cards, want to tell you all about them, and they don't understand that it is about building those relationships, and that takes a little bit of time, but really getting to know each other, because it's all about serving. That's what it's really about, right? It's all about how can I show up and serve, and when people understand, now I'm a strategist, right, so for me, it's always about the strategy, but it makes sense to me that when I meet somebody, what I'm looking for is to learn about you personally, right, because I want to make that connection. I want to know about your business, yes, so I can send you referrals and so that we can do joint ventures if we have a synergy, but for me, I want to know how to serve you in the most strategic way, right, so that I'm not just going to be a partner for you, that I'm actually listening to you and going, okay, so what would be the strategy? How can I help her in the most strategic way that I can so that I actually bring value to her?
Yep, totally.
You know, it's funny because in listening to, you know, for me, my pet peeve is on Twitter, when I'll follow someone, because I don't, if somebody follows me, I don't just follow them. I'll go in, I'll take a look at their site, I take a look at who they are, and then I'll follow them. And when I get that DM that says, oh, thanks for following me, you know, download my free ebook or, you know, do this, do that, it just, it completely puts me off. That to me is just, that's the networking person who, you know, you're saying hello to, and they're just waiting for you to take that breath because all they want to do is tell you about themselves, hand you their card, and move on to the next person.
Absolutely.
That you know, that's to me is the social media equivalent.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that is that on Twitter is the one real social networking platform where you really do have to earn your connections, in the sense that, you know, on Facebook, you know, when we become friends, it's a two-way street, right? We become friends. When we're on LinkedIn, we become connected. We're connected. But on Twitter, that's not true. On Twitter, somebody can follow you. You don't have to follow them back. It's not an automatic two-way street. So in actuality, that's what I love about Twitter. And 71% of my closed business comes from Twitter. It is the platform that I love because you have to be very concise because of the amount of characters. It's a great place to begin a conversation, and because you really do have to earn that connection. So I totally agree with you.
And I have to say, quite honestly, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, for those of you who think that social media is a waste of time, you're just not doing it right. This radio show happened because of Twitter. And although, you know, and there's a social media etiquette to Twitter, too, because after Christmas, I had come back. I had been gone for a few weeks and was saying hello and just catching up with everybody like I always do. And I actually got tossed off Twitter for being too social.
Too many posts, too quick in an hour. Yes, they have their algorithm,
too. I didn't do it in an hour. I had them because I'm like I love Hootsuite. So I'll go in on my Hootsuite and I'll answer people, but then I'll schedule them out and things like that so that doesn't happen. But I guess I had gone so far back in my timeline because I don't want to miss if somebody's wished me a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, whatever, that even though it was 3 weeks ago, and I guess I had gone so far back that, yes, they kicked me off for being too social. And then when I came back on, it had wiped out all my contacts, so I had to start from scratch.
Oh, wow.
Patty, are you going to talk about are you going to talk about Twitter etiquette a little bit when you come?
If you would like me to, I can.
I would love you to, because I'm not a social media guru, and God knows, you know, I try, and I learn, and we all have to get better. And I sent out a message last week, and it was a quote, and I loved it, and most people did, and I think I'm a really positive person.
Oh, you are. I love having you in my Twitter stream.
Well, not a lot of people. I guess in reality, it was four people, and two of them, you know, even when I answered them and apologized, they sent me three messages after and then unfollowed me. They took it as not a positive message, but it was insulting them in some way. And when I reread it, I could see how they read it that way, and thank God nobody else did. But I apologized, and I said it. I meant it in a positive way, you know, like for help, and I got, you know, a couple of nasty messages from them. And I was, like, so upset. And Vanessa's like, get over it. You know, this is social media. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to follow you. You know, and there is social, there is Twitter etiquette out there. And like you said, and if you want to make, you just said 71% of your closed business comes from Twitter. I didn't think the numbers could be that high. That is huge.
Mm-hmm. But the thing
I would love to talk about Twitter is that,
like I said, you only have 140 characters. So the key word, the most important part of that phrase, is originates on Twitter. Because mm-hmm. once you meet them on Twitter, then you can take it to wherever it needs to go, whether that's Facebook or, you know, because you don't have as many character things that you have to worry about on Facebook. But you have to be really clear on Twitter. And here's the part that's so funny. 71% of my closed business without ever trying to sell. I never sell. Like, I never sell on social media. That is just not something I do. But you don't need to do it if you do it right.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So it is good. Actually, I do a whole thing just on teaching that. So just, you know, that's something that I do all the time. So it's kind of really
exciting.
Yeah,
I'll be in your class on that someday. I'm going to tell you, you
were amazing this morning on social media. The way you were promoting this radio show, I was having a VIP day with a client, and I kept seeing my Twitter, and I was, like, looking at my Twitter, and I'm thinking, man, you go, Lynette. You were, like, all over it. You were amazing.
Well, who knows?
Kudos
I could go
to
back
you.
And look at my Twitter, and maybe a bunch of people got pissed off and unfollowed me. I'll let you know later.
Oh, I don't know. I can't wait to follow up with all those great introductions you did for me this morning. And you, Dory, too. I mean, amazing. I love it.
Well, thanks. And you know what? What I love about our show, and especially because we're geared for moms and mompreneurs, is that we're live on your time. You know, we do this show live at 1 o'clock, but you know what? Live on your time, maybe 3 o'clock while a.m. while you're nursing somebody. Or I remember somebody calling in and saying, you know, talking about how, oh, yeah, I had a huge drive, so I downloaded a bunch of your episodes that I had missed to be able to listen. And I was like, really? You did? But it is. It's kind of fun. I love this because this is something that, you know, all the way leading up to the conference. That's why we're doing the three shows, Patty. We didn't do just one. You know, we did one in August 14th. You can go back to that archive and meet Brett and Jennifer. You have today's show on October 2nd. We're doing the last of the shows leading up to the conference and things. So I love being able to do things like that. And, you know, all right, I have to ask. I'm going to be a sneaky Pete. And so, Patty, do you have, like, a favorite icebreaker way to start a conversation that you find is successful for you on Twitter? Are you all taking notes here, guys?
I am.
I know I am.
Okay. I hope I come through. Let me know. So here is mine. So I don't know about you, but I do not love the dreaded question, so what do you do? And I would believe that there are a great many people, and statistically it has been proven that when people hear the question, that it actually triggers them in their brain to go into self-promotion mode. They're actually trained to do that. So I always tell people all the time, never ask that question. I never say it. It never comes out of my mouth. I have trained myself to never say that question. Here is what I love to say instead. So my first question is always, who do you serve? And let me tell you why. First of all, immediately from the get-go, they're not talking about themselves. Because I just ask them who they serve, not what do you do. So when I say, who do you serve, now you're not talking about you. Now you're talking about your clients. So you're telling me, who do you serve? So one of three things can happen here. Okay, because we're all busy, right? We're all busy. So one of three things can happen. The first thing that can happen is when you tell me who you serve, guess what? I serve some of them too. And that will totally change that conversation that we're having right now, because now we know where to go next. However, just say, for example, that when you tell me who you serve, I don't serve any of them. Like that, none of them are like, whoa, I don't even have anything to do with any of those. That's a totally new thing. However, this is your opportunity to serve your network. Is there somebody in your network that's just the person that they were looking for an introduction for? Or when you were listening to who they serve, you thought, wow, such and such person, that's who they kind of serve too. I should do an introduction for them. I can serve them. Or three, maybe there's somebody in your network that's the referral that they're looking for, and you can do a referral. So when you show up and ask that question, three things can happen. And the last thing is that if you, for whatever reason, can't think of anybody, it is, you know, you can't think of anybody, you don't know anybody you could possibly introduce them to, and there is nothing that you can find in that moment that you have synergy to, that pretty much tells you that that's certainly not the person you want to be in the corner talking to for an hour, right? And second of all, this is the conversation that you need to follow up on social media, because you're not always going to find the thing that you have synergy with in a five-minute conversation. So this is a great way to continue the conversation on social media. So I always do one of three things. I always have a goal there to do one of those three things with those questions. And that question followed up with my second favorite question will tell me pretty much every single thing I need to know, and I can do it in 3 minutes.
Okay. So what's the second favorite question? You just can't leave
that
there.
Oh, I don't
there.
Think she should tell
like
anybody until the conference.
Oh, my
so
God.
Vanessa, should I tell? I'm going to let you make the call. Tell or not tell?
You know what? Lynette,
I don't know.
You
know, Patty. Patty promised, which I know Patty does everything that she says she's going to do, and I needed to follow up with her. Is she's going to do a webinar for people who purchase tickets for the conference before the conference to talk about how to get the most out of their conference. So why don't we leave that for the webinar? Why don't we do?
Oh,
second?
I think that's a great idea.
Isn't that a good idea?
And even though I'm invited to the webinar and whatnot, because I'm broadcasting it with Patty, you're going to have to DM me. Because it's like a dangling part of
yeah, you. But you're going to be at the conference, too, and part of that will be in my presentation, too. Because
I
always love
really
to model
quiet.
It for people, right?
Yeah.
We want to model
it for
people.
Never say a word.
Okay.
It's like, shh. Mom's the word, I promise. Mom's the word. I won't say a thing. Shh. You know? But, yeah. You know, I'm sorry. Sometimes you get to pull the host card. Go in and win it.
You got it.
I have to know. Burning minds have to know. You know what? For those of you just tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio. We're on the Mompreneur Model Show. We're talking with Lynette Barbieri and Patty Farmer. And I just want to say thank you to today's show sponsor, ifnotyouwho.org, which is a 300 activity-based website that will help get your child ready for kindergarten. More than 4 million kids go to school every year not ready for kindergarten. And ifnotyouwho.org was created by Debbie Dutton and Alyssa Sunger, and they are a mother-daughter tag team that host Productive Play on our rotating Wednesday platform here on Word of Mom Radio. And there's over 300 free activities. They take 10, maybe 15 minutes. Most of the muse things you can find in your house or outside. But just making sure that your child is ready in all of those five critical areas before they go to school. So I suggest you go to ifnotyouwho.org and take a look. And it's just a great site, and it's geared for parents, caregivers, grandparents, siblings, you name it. And again, you can hear them on Wednesdays, the third Wednesday of the month, here on our rotating Wednesday platform with Productive Play. So we're back here live on Word of Mom Radio with Patty Farmer and Lynette Barbieri, and we are talking about the eThink Tank for Mom, ETTM, watch out for that hashtag, hashtag ETTM360. As you are seeing that all over Twitter and all over Facebook and anywhere else you're looking, this is what it's all about. It is about the conference. And Patty, you're the keynote speaker there.
Yes.
And
this is an amazing conference.
Well, I want you to share kind of your insight on it. We've heard from Lynette as one of the co-creators, and Vanessa was here on the 14th with her sharing also. I really want to know your perspective on participating in this.
Sure. When I talked to them first, it was over a year ago when we were talking about this conference, and I have to tell you, I am probably the most excited to be at this conference than probably any other conference that I've been through this year, because I really believe that the women who will be at this conference, they're not just coming to this conference, they are showing up. And because of that, and because of Lynette and Vanessa, who are amazing, they are actually putting the people together. I mean, if you just go to the website and just look at all they have done, I mean, not from the sponsors to the speakers to the activities to, I mean, this whole event is top-notch, five-star, you know, from the beginning to the end. I mean, you can really tell that they put a lot of thought in it. I go to a lot of activities. I go to a lot of events. I travel all over the world. But I have to tell you, they really took every single thing. Like, they sat down and said, wow, what would we need, right? And isn't that what we really should be doing, right? What would we need? Okay, well, that's good. Well, what else? Well, what else? Well, what else? And they have just put all of those activities together and then backed it up with all the right people that are really there to serve. And so I have to tell you, it is going to be like being in a room full of the people that you want to be with, the people that you need to be with, and the people that you will build a relationship with. And 5 years later, you're still going to be with them still. So I think that what they have put together is just phenomenal. And not just that, but it's not just an event. You know, a lot of times you go to an event and somebody will do a one-year event, you know, once a year, whatever. This is like an ongoing mission for them. So the event is just the one tip of the iceberg. They back it up like with follow-up, right? They back that up with follow-up all the way through the whole year long. So I think that that's just really amazing. Their mission of what they are doing with this conference is just amazing.
I really appreciate that, Patty, because, you know, what Dori said before is so true. Behind the scenes, I mean, you know, you do a lot of events, and we put our heart and soul into it, and we believe, our tagline, you see it all the time, is everything happens for a reason, together we achieve more. And, you know, I believe everybody that we met for this conference came to us for a reason, and the reason is that all of the women that come to our events and our members or that we connect with through social media need something from every single one of you that are coming to speak, and everybody was brought to us. We didn't look for them. Everybody was brought to us like we connected with you, and that's how I know it happened for a reason. We so believe that that's true.
Oh, I believe so, too. I'm really so excited about being connected with you both. And just the people that I have met from that, too. I mean, I just really believe that you model and set the example. And isn't that what it's really all about? I mean, when you're serving, it all starts with you, right? You have to set the stage first. You have to be the person to model it. You have to not just be the person to model, but that you know that that's not just who you are one day a year, but it's who you are every day of the year. And I think that is so true for both of you.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And that's what you get. We are who we are.
We love that, though.
And with that being said, Jennifer Longmore is here to share her part of the conference. So, Patty, I hope you can stay on as we bring her in. And I just want to let everybody know, Jennifer is North American Sole Purpose Expert. She's internationally acclaimed, the host of Soul Purpose Central, and three-time best-selling author. She's the creator of the popular Spiritual Leadership and Legacy Program for entrepreneurs and Heal Your Money Story Intensive. For over 15 years, she's been helping people remember who they really are and has those clear issues out of their money tissues for over 20,000 Soul Purpose sessions, including the who's who of actors, professional athletes, CEOs of leading companies, and other influential luminaries. And, you know, her resume just goes on and on. And, Jennifer, I just want to get you in here because we're so excited, you know, to have you here too. I mean, I'm serious. What an amazing group you have put together. You know, you both, Lynette and Vanessa, who will be listening to archives, I'm sure. So
absolutely,
it's just remarkable.
Absolutely.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
Sounds like I joined quite the love fest.
Oh. Yes, you did. You did. And Vanessa says hi, too. She's in the city working for the conference right now, and she said hello. And I just want to say I got to meet Jennifer because we, Vanessa and I, went to a conference that Jennifer was at, and Vanessa had met and known Jennifer before, and she introduced us, and again, like I said, everything happens for a reason. She was amazing that day, and I do finance, and she talks about money in a whole different way, and I just thought, oh, my God, everybody needs to hear this, and we're really excited to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm excited, too. It feels like we've been talking about doing this forever, so it's going to be nice to meet everyone in person.
Yes.
So, Jennifer, I have to ask you, how did you get, what was your journey that led you to doing what you were doing?
Oh, my goodness. It's one of those long, winding stories, right, when you look back on your life and you think, oh, my goodness, that was such a precursor for where I am now, but you wouldn't have necessarily known it at the time, right? But I grew up in a very spiritual family. My grandfather used to solve crimes with the police as a psychic medium. So that was just a part of my life. And even though I went into a conventional route and went to university and became a forensic investigator and studied, you know, pretty interesting human behavior, I always had this calling to go and help people in a more holistic way and connect them to something bigger than themselves and have them understand that how we do everything or how we do anything is how we do everything. So, you know, I just decided I was excited to be of service and I wanted to serve in this way. And as you were talking about before, when you choose to serve, everything just kind of flows. So to my surprise and delight, I was serving a lot of people right out of the gate when I started my business. It actually took off really, really quickly. And I've generated over six figures in the first 10 months of my business, which it's pretty unheard of for a business like mine, let alone way back in the day when websites were just sort of like novelties and there was no social media and that kind of thing. And then as I went through all these readings, I've done probably now like more like 30,000 readings. The one thing, no matter whether people have it or not, that causes a great deal of pain is money. And I started to see the commonalities of what people were talking about and what was really behind all of this, right? Because it's never about the money. It's always about what's behind it. I know, Lynette, you see that, right? If you're helping people look at their finances, it's not money itself. It's just a neutral energy, but it's,
absolutely,
you know, what's leading them to have these certain decisions or blocks or whatever. That's really what needs to be tackled. So that's kind of how it came to be. And then I thought, oh, I'll offer this one-time class to everyone because people kept saying, I want to work with you, but I can't afford it. Or I want to go on a trip, but I can't afford it. And everything was about not having the money. So I thought, okay, I'll offer this one-time class. It has nothing really to do with what I offer, but then I'll record it. People can listen to it forever and ever. And then we'll just stop talking about why we don't have money. It snowballed. And people are like, I want to certify in this. I want to train this. When are you coming to my city to talk about this? You know, when are you writing your first book on money? And it just went on and on and on, which was kind of funny, right? So so here I am a few years later talking about money all the time, probably, you know, to the point where people are like, oh, my goodness, Jennifer, can you talk about something else at this point?
I'm sure they still want to hear you.
Jennifer, I have to ask you, in what you do, what are the ways? I mean, are there practical ways that you can help people shift their mindset? I mean, I'm assuming that that's part of what you are helping them do.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some really simple things. You know, if things are not flowing and things are not feeling expansive, then you know your energy is contracted. And so if your energy is contracted, it means at some level you're coming from a place of fear. So just simply catching yourself and saying, okay, am I letting fear run the show, or am I letting my, you know, higher self run the show, can be enough to kind of shift us out of things. But it may sound counterintuitive, but the best way to actually get clear on how silly our monkey mind is to write out all the things that we're lacking, all the things we can't do, including buying private jets and all kinds of things like that because we don't have enough money, all the things we don't have enough time to do, all the other things that we're lacking. I often hear from women entrepreneurs that they're not qualified enough. They'd love to, you know, offer a certain service, but they don't feel that they're perfect enough or qualified enough. Sometimes we don't feel like we're thin enough or pretty enough or any of these kind of things to put ourselves out there in the world. Once you see all of that in writing, and it really ends up being pages and pages of I suck, basically, I don't have enough of something, it kind of becomes a little bit funny because there's no way that we were put on this planet to focus our energy on that, right? And when we can see just where we're lacking, then we can start to go, okay, what's actually true and what's just my monkey mind at play? And for the things that are true, let me create a plan around it. And for the things that aren't true, let me just let it go. So that's a starting place. And but then we don't want to stay there because who wants to hang out in that, right? So energy always goes where attention flows, right? What we focus our attention on becomes our intention. So we can say that we want to create something in our life, but if our thoughts are always reflecting the exact opposite, then that's what we'll create because the universe is a really good listener. So we need to now start focusing on where we are abundant. Maybe we don't have a lot of liquid cash, but maybe we have a lot in retirement funds. Maybe we have a lot of friends. Maybe we have a lot of great ideas. Maybe we have a lot of opportunities. But each one of us has something that we have a lot of that actually serves us. And even if it just seems like a small thing, that's where we want to focus our attention on. And constantly look for where we're abundant and look for where it's an abundant universe, because we've got to start training the monkey mind to stop running the show and just start looking for what we actually want it to look for.
I love that.
Why? I do too. And I'm kind of curious as to why you think people put themselves into that mindset that basically avoids them making money.
Oh my goodness. Well, a lot of us, I think, adopt our parents' relationship with money, or we have perceptions of there's all kinds of fears, right? One of the fears is that we're afraid of power. So if we associate money with power and we're afraid we're going to have power used against us, or we're afraid we're going to abuse our power, then we won't let in the very thing that we associate with power, right? So that's one reason why people don't let money in, or even if they let it in, they treat it like a hot potato and it just kind of disappears. The second thing is we have a fear of leaving the tribe behind. So if all of our relatives have always been anchored in a poverty consciousness, and it almost becomes a way of bonding to commiserate about how much money we don't have, or who's trying to steal money from us, or how hard we have to work for money, or any of those things, and we choose something different, there's a push-pull dynamic because we can feel people's response to us when we start doing something different. If you think about going on a diet, and we've all probably been on a diet at some point, what's the first thing that happens when you tell people you're on a diet? Oh, just have this piece of pie. Your mother made it especially for you. Why can't you just do your diet tomorrow?
That's right.
What, you don't love your mother anymore? You're not going to have her pie? It's one piece of pie. What's the issue? You know, and people are instantly trying to sabotage you and keep you where you are. Right? People don't want to respect the fact that, you know, you don't want the piece of pie, and it's no personal slant on anyone that you don't want the piece of pie. Well, the same thing happens with everything, including money, right? So if all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be all big for your bridges and go out there and do something different, then people are going to respond accordingly, because really they're afraid of losing us, right? So if we have to choose between going and flying on our own and having a great life and having all kinds of money, or having our whole family turn against us, we're going to stay somewhere in the middle, right? We're going to stay in the good enough path because it's seemingly safer to stay there. Then we also have a fear of not being worthy enough, which I talked about before. We're not qualified enough. We're not pretty enough. We're not lovable enough. We're not whatever enough. And that story can go on and on forever. You might have even felt your energy dip a bit when I was saying that, right? Because it's such a heavy energy. We didn't come out of the womb that way. That's not how we were designed by God, creator, source, whatever people's belief system is. And so where do we get that stuff from? We pick it up, right? And then the other thing is we're afraid of speed. We say we want things to happen really quickly, but we actually don't. Because if that were true, then there really wouldn't be any issues with any of us, right? We would be living the most amazing lives. We'd be happy. We'd have no issues because we would just be in flow. So there's something about our misidentified sense of speed that keeps us making incremental changes rather than just making quantum leaps in the areas we say we want to make quantum leaps.
Wow.
That's a nutshell version. Obviously, I'm going to go into much more detail at the conference.
And I'm sure you are, but I mean, but it's so true what you're saying. And, you know, family, it's one of the reasons I started Word of Mom Radio, to celebrate mompreneurs, because as mompreneurs, I'm throwing my hand in the air. Believe me, I've heard the, oh, when are you going to quit this and get a real job? And you do, and you know what? And now it's, hey, when are you going to grow this big enough so you can hire me? You know, is what I'm now hearing. But it's true. And but family does. Family and friends very often, you know, aren't the most supportive people in the world. That's why you need to be on Twitter and Facebook and listen to Word of Mom Radio, because guess what? We're here to support you. That's what this conference is all about. We're here to empower each other, build each other up, serve the greater good. It really is. It's because people can't help but come in and go, what's in it for me? But when you stop thinking about what's in it for you and how you can turn it around to help somebody else, it makes a big difference in the energy that happens.
Totally. You know, it made me think when you said that, Dori, that it's not unlike relationship. When you're single, you're like, oh, I want to be in a relationship. And when you're in a relationship, you're like, oh, I want to be single. And when people have a job, they're like, I don't want a job anymore. I want to be retired. I want to win the lottery. When you go and create a business, people are like, why don't you get a job? Jobs are the greatest thing since sliced bread. Right? So we're kind of funny that way as human beings.
Mm-hmm. Somebody once said to me, you know, really that a job is just over broke. And
yes,
I just look at it that, you know what, and it's funny because trust me, I own my own business. I've been broke, guys. I mean, you know, hello. I'm not sitting here in a mansion. I'm not Elmer J. Fudd, but that's okay, you know, because we all do what we do. And it's, you know, and things are coming, things are shifting. I was just saying that, how this whole karma shift is going on in my life right now. And, you know, you reap what you sow, and you just have to keep going with the best intentions. At this point in my life, my intention is being better than I was the day before. That's my goal when I wake up every morning at this point in my life. And it's amazing because when you put together positive energy, this conference is going to be so unbelievable. Every conversation I have about it and getting to do these shows, I get more and more excited about what is coming up in just, you know, less than a month. And believe it or not, we are coming close to the end of this hour. And I'm going to say to you that those of you who are listening live, when we cut out, because we're probably going to go into archive, when you come in to listen to the archive, the entire thing will be here. All right, so if you miss the end of this because it winds up going into archive, just, you know, download it, fast forward, get the end. And that's the wonderful thing about archive, because it'll just keep going. But I want, before we go off live, ladies, please, each one of you, let everybody know how to reach you. So, Lynette, you're the mom on this. We're going to start with you.
Everybody could reach us at ethinktankformoms.com. There will be a place to go for the Power of Connections conference and our contact information for any moms that would also like to promote their products or services at the conference and cannot attend.
Okay, Patty.
Thank you for asking. You can connect with me at pattyfarmer.com. Patty is with a Y, so pattyfarmer.com. And on Twitter at Patty Farmer, and looking forward to it.
And Jennifer?
You can reach me at www.souljourneys.ca or on Facebook at Soul Purpose Expert.
Ladies, please reach out to these women. All of you tuning in, live or archive, reach out to these women. Learn more about the conference. And believe me, if you are in the area, and I'm talking, you know, you have a 10-hour drive, you're in the area, we've done it before, we can do it again. It's worth coming. You are going to learn so much at this conference, and you are going to meet some ridiculously amazing women who I'm just so excited to be part of this and broadcasting and getting to share you here on Word of Mom Radio. It really is so exciting. And I, you know, as we close out, I just, again, please reach out to these women. Go and follow the hashtag. Make sure you're retweeting everything that you see about ETTM360. And keep clicking on those links. Lynette, keep sending out all those positive messages because you really are sharing great things online. You really are. And,
thank you.
You know, you say you're not a social media person, but you know what? Guess what? You really are. So
thank you.
You're doing really well. Well, you obviously are doing it really well. Look at the network that's just on this call today.
My
look
work
at the women
life
that
is
were
a good
involved.
Teacher. I have a good teacher.
Well, and there you go. There you go. You know, we all need a work wife. I don't know about you, but I could use a work wife. You know, throwing my hair in the air, too. So, ladies, I hate cutting you off, and I hate ending this show. I could continue talking to you forever, and I really do want to invite Jennifer and Patty. I would really love to invite you guys here for a show individually. Because
that
would
be amazing.
So much.
Yay!
Yeah, you have so much to offer, and I would love our listeners and me. Believe me, I take copious notes. I really do when it comes to it, because there's so much to learn from you all, and I'm just honored to be part of such an amazing event that's coming up. I really am. So just thank you all for taking your time to share with us here today, October 2nd, we will be back with the last of this series for the eThink Tank for Moms conference, and then we will be broadcasting, we'll be, you know, recording and everything at the conference. We're going to be doing a live tweet, some tweet chatting. We're going to be doing a lot of different things at the conference to keep people who aren't there networked into it. But for those of you who can be there, let's face it, that is always going to be the most powerful way to experience all of it. So, again, ladies, thank you so much for being here. For those of you tuning in to Word of Mom Radio, thank you. Keep coming back. Share us with your friends. And we'll be back on Tuesday with Social Media Help, Not Hype, with Janice Clark. So until then, this is Dori DiCarlo saying thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.